a profound quietness when I pray and when I connect with God. I've never had that up until I embraced Islam.
I pray 5 times a day. I fast the month of Ramadan. I'm still new to Islam. I'm working for my religion. It's my belief if I do these things, I'll go to paradise. I'll end up in heaven.
I'm a proud Aboriginal Anglo-Australian Muslim woman.
I'm Australian. I'm 100% true blue, white Muslim.
I've always been interested in religion since I'm a kid and spirituality in general. My mother always tried to feed my soul with advice to seek for good spiritual content. And in France, Catholicism was kind of dying and not so many people believed in it. So I decided to look at Buddhism, for example, at the age of 15 years old. I started to meditate with some friends. I started to go to the conference of the Dalai Lama. I really liked this religion because it was talking about peace, practical things to do, such as meditation. Then I traveled around the world and I was blessed to discover different type of religions, different type of culture. But something deep inside in my mind was like, I'm not yet upon the truth. And sometimes when I go to bed, I was thinking, it's not yet there, you know? So I keep on searching. In 2009, I decided to walk 1,000 kilometers on the Way of James, called Santiago de Compostela. It's a Christian pilgrim, and I was hoping to find God in this process. But I was a bit... annoyed by some Christians who keep on telling me, this is the truth, you have to do this and that. And for me, God was the God of all religions. That was my concept, you know. I used to tell them, God is too big for one religion only. One day I was waiting for a next flight to the Philippines in Abu Dhabi for 6 hours. And I decided, you know what, I'm not going to stay in the airport. Let's find out what is in this city. And I knew nothing about it, and the only place that I found interesting to visit was the White Masjid, the beautiful Masjid. And on my way to the Masjid, I was listening to something on the radio that really called my attention, to the point that I said to the taxi driver, this is really touching my heart. And the taxi driver said, brother, this is the Quran, and you've been talking to me about your life. I think you're a really good person. Please save yourself and your family from the hellfire. And I said to him, just relax, wait a minute, nobody's going to go to hellfire. I didn't believe in that. I thought, there's not such a thing. And I said, I believe God is too big for one religion. All religions are good. And he said, please, brother, read the Quran whenever you can. And I said yes to him, but I was not able to read the Quran right away. Then I traveled again, and I went to some Muslim countries. I was listening to the Azan, the call of prayer. And it always also touched my heart, but I thought, this is a religion for the Arabs. I'm not really interested into it. I don't know if it's for me. So I kept on searching. I even tried to do some shamanism in Mexico. Maybe some of you remember in 2012, some people predicted that the world would be ending. And I was one of those who don't believe it's gonna end, but I was so tired of the wars and the lies of what's happening in the world that I thought I was hoping something would change, and it didn't happen. So we are still here in 2017, and I was blessed that in 2012 I was in the Philippines and I started to research on internet about the truth. I wanted to know, and I searched on all religions, and it started from Christianity. Since I was in the Philippines, I went back to Christianity. I went to the church. I was in need of spiritual fulfillment, but I was a bit bothered by the concept of Trinity. Also, I didn't believe Jesus was the Son of God. It didn't make sense for me. So I was asking questions to my Christian brothers, and they were not able to answer me. They said to me, I don't know. Also, the life of Jesus between 12 years old and 30 years old is not known in the Bible. So for me, it was a bit not good enough. And somehow, deep inside, after my research on Islam, I knew this was the truth, but I was afraid to become Muslim for cultural reason. I thought my family will not like it, my country will not like it. So it took me at least 5 months to make up my mind. And I also considered Judaism, but I found out that they were also an exclusive religion, that you have to be from a Jew mother to become Jew, and it was very hard to convert to Judaism. And it seems that they think they have to enslave the whole world, you know. So it's not a religion that attracted me, because I don't believe in a superior race. This is not something that I consider to be good. And when I found about the life of Malcolm X and his journey as a convert, and also Cat Stevens, I was an artist at the time, I was playing music in the Philippines. All these conversion stories reaffirm that Islam is the truth, for a simple reason, that there's only one God worthy of worship, and Muhammad Rasulullah is the last prophet of mankind, and we have thousands of proof that he is the last prophet. So once I got sure about this in 2012, right after Ramadan, I decided to take my Shahada and I became Muslim. And that was the most beautiful day of my life, I will never forget. And this is something that I hope the whole world start to realize, you know. This is, it cannot be one truth, you know, it cannot be two truths. So Islam is the truth, and this is an invitation for everybody that is watching, this film. One of the things I remember the first time I visited the Masjid in Abu Dhabi is the peace that I found in my heart while entering this place, you know. I thought it was very peaceful, relaxing, and I stayed. And down the line I realized all the bounties of Islam, such as the way of life. You know, my brothers and sisters, this is something that I really started to appreciate with Islam, that everything in your life is actually planned by Allah, and He gives you guidance to live. And this is the difference with other religions that I could not find. Other religions, they just care about spirituality, but there is no practical advice to be a good husband, a good father, a good businessman, a good politician. Everything has been taught to us through the last prophet of mankind, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is why he came, the last, to teach us all these things, to refine our characters. And another thing that is very powerful in Islam is the pillars of Islam. There are five pillars, you know. If you want a good foundation in anything you do, you need solid pillars to go through the centuries, to go through the ages. And the first pillar of Islam is Ashhadu Allah ilaha illallah wa Ashhadu Anna Muhammad Rasulullah. This is the Shahada, which means in English, there is no God worthy of worship except Allah, and Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the last messenger. You know, this is what you need to believe in your heart and your day-to-day life to become a Muslim. Then you have the five daily prayers. At first I thought it was a burden. I remember when I was visiting for the first time Turkey in Istanbul, some brothers told me normally we should be praying 50 prayers, and I thought, wow, this is too much. I mean, how come a God can ask people to pray 50 times a day? But then I realized that it has been decreased to 5, but the meaning and the importance of our prayers is worth 50. Why? Because we have been created by God to worship Him, you know, and this is the key point that actually changed my whole life. Because ask yourself, what is the purpose of your life? Some people will say, well, the purpose of my life is to be happy, or the purpose of my life is to make others happy. Everybody give a different answer, but for me it didn't make sense, because I thought we're all human beings, therefore we should all have the same purpose of life. And this is what the Quran teaches. It's very clear in the Quran. There is one verse that says, I the only reason I created you, mankind, is to worship me, you know. And that's why prayer is so important, because it allows you during the day to reconnect with the one who created you. How good is that? You know, you can ask Him anything you want, you can find peace in your heart, and even on a business aspect, it allows you to organize your day accordingly and be more efficient during your day, providing you pray on time. So really, Islam is a fantastic way of life, a fantastic system. Another pillar of Islam is zakat. You know, every Muslim has to pay 2.5% of his wealth per year. You know why? Because it's to alleviate the burden of the poor. You know, and it's also a way to purify ourselves, because Allah teaches us that this money you have, it comes from me, it belongs to me. Therefore, give my money to the poor people. You know. And this is something that I found very attractive in Islam, very purifying, and I love to practice it. Another thing that I enjoy, and we are coming soon to this, is Ramadan, which is the fourth pillar of Islam. Ramadan is the fasting not only of not eating and not... A lot of people think fasting is just not eating and not drinking during the day. It's more than that. We should fast with all our organs, which means not saying bad things about others, not listening to bad things, not looking at bad things. It's a complete month where we are fully and really consciously worshipping Allah the right way, you know? And it gives us also the opportunity to feel the pain of the poor, which now, recently I heard 25,000 people are dying of hunger every day. A lot of people say, yeah, oh, too bad for them, we feel bad for them, but when you yourself deprive yourself from food from morning to night, you really know what it feels to be hungry, and this is giving us more compassion to help the poor, and the Muslim is doing a lot all over the world. We don't talk about that enough, but we are feeding millions of people every year during Ramadan, and it's something beautiful, and it's also a way to unite the whole Muslim community together for 1 month, you know. So there are hundreds of things I could say about Ramadan. And finally, the fifth pillar, which I enjoyed in 2013, is Hajj. Hajj is the biggest pilgrim in the world. You know, every man deep inside his heart feel the urge to do a pilgrim, to the point that there are other religions that it's not in the book, but they still do pilgrims, such as Santiago de Compostela in Spain. And because it's something that all human being wants, is to go back to his creator, and this is what we do every year. Hajj is compulsory for every Muslim that can afford it, and it's a great spiritual moment where we can be with the rich, with the poor, it doesn't matter, we are all equal. And Hajj is also a preparation for us for the next life. We are all dressed actually in the clothes that we will be wearing during our time in the grave, which is white, you know, very pure, very simple. And it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, because at the end of the day, what matters to Allah is what you have in your heart. And this is what I love about Islam, is a constant purification process to your heart, because what matters to Allah is your heart. It's not if you're good looking, or because He already created good looking, or even in a different way. This is not what matters to Allah, but your heart is something that you can work by yourself, by connecting to God. So, my brothers and sisters, just find out more, and inshallah you will be guided. Recently we were blessed to witness the Shahada, the entry in Islam of a Filipina woman. She's 35 years old, so, such as myself, and it was just a couple of days, and she took a Shahada in our house. And before we invite her to Islam, we wanted to share with her the six pillars of faith in Islam. So of course you have to believe first in God. Makes sense. You have to believe in God. You have to believe in all His attributes. You have to believe He has not been created, and He doesn't have any son. You know, He is everything, right? So He doesn't have a father. He doesn't have a son. God is God, and God cannot be a human being. So all this has to be well understood, and then you have to also believe in the angels. God created angels before us, and angels worship God, and they do everything God wants. They are never disobedient. So you have to believe in angels, and you also have to know that Shaitan is not a fallen angel. Shaitan is another type of creature that is called the jinns. made of fire. But this is not part of the six pillars of faith, but a lot of Christians think that Shaitan was an angel, which is not true. And it's actually in the Quran for the people to see. Thirdly, you have to believe in the prophets of God. Since the beginning of mankind, which started with Adam and Eve, God sent prophets who are all basically from the same family of Adam and Eve. We all come from the same father and mother, and then we all brothers and sisters in humanity. So this is a concept that also Christians believe. And as a former Christian, what I loved about Islam is actually all the prophets that I knew, such as Jesus, Moses, Jacob, Joseph, all the prophets, Abraham, all the prophets are the same prophets in Islam. The only difference is we acknowledge that the last prophet is Prophet Muhammad. And actually Jesus acknowledged to his disciples that there will be another prophet that will come after him. You know, so that was very easy for me to believe. And also we believe that Maryam is the mother of Jesus, one of the prophets of God. You know, so the reason for the prophets to come is to say basically the same message. There's only one God worthy of worship, and this is Allah. You know, because through history of mankind, men have a tendency to worship something else, which is the biggest sin in Islam. You know, you cannot do that, because how about if you tell your mother, actually I have two mothers, will she like it? No, of course she will not like it, because she's the only one to make you. Same, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one to make you as well. Therefore, it's normal that you worship him only. You know, this is the least you can do, actually. So the fourth pillar of faith is the book of God that was sent to some of our prophets, such as Moses. The Ten Commandments are very famous around the world. And also the gospel that was sent to Jesus. But those books were lost, you know, in transition, as we say. You know, it got lost, and some people rewrote certain things, but it came from man. It was man-made. But the Quran is the last book, the last revelation untouched by men, which means all the words get maintained, you know, from the Arabic version up until this century, it cannot be changed. That's why this is one of the miracles of Islam. The miracle of the Quran is that people from all over the world, Chinese, French, Japanese, Africans, are learning and memorizing the Quran, which is 600 pages by heart. And this is a miracle. You know, this is truly a miracle that you're a Chinese person and you can recite 600 pages of Arabic. You can try to do that in your own language, and good luck with that. And if you manage to memorize the Bible in English, just call me, you know, I give you $1,000. Good luck. But really, it's what really convinced me about Islam. That the Quran is a miracle, you know, and people who deny that are kind of lying to themselves, honestly. The fifth point is, this is where the sister from the Philippines, she had a doubt about the day of judgment. You know, because in the Christian concept, as long as you believe that, as long as you believe in Jesus, you will go to paradise, right? But, brothers and sisters, is it really realistic that just to believe in Jesus will take you to paradise? God is a fair God as well, and He will have to judge every one of us. And Muslim, we believe that we will be judged as well, such as the Christians, such as the Jews, such as everybody else. You know, but the difference is we already qualified to the university of God, which is Islam, you know. So we're all going to be in front of the same test. But if you don't enter the right university to qualify, how can you pass the test? And which book to study to pass the test of this life is the Quran, because this is the last message of God to mankind. And this is where she had a bit of doubt about the day of judgment. But I think it's clear that God is a loving God, but it's also a God that needs to be feared, because He's a fair God, and therefore He will have to judge us and give us a reward, which is paradise, or give us a punishment, which is hellfire. And lastly, the last pillar is the pillar of... there's no coincidence in Islam. We call it Qadr. You know, Qadr is destiny. Everything that is happening, even this film that I'm doing right now, was planned even before my birth. It's something that Allah already planned. And everything that happens in our life is because of the will of God. So this is basically the last pillar of faith. And you, as a Muslim, you need to believe in those six pillars of faith, you know, to really be called a Muslim. I've always been passionate about history. When I was at school, I found fascinating to discover what happened back in the days. But I've never been told how rich and how deep was the history of the Muslim, especially from the 7th century up to the 14th century. Europe was in darkness, and Islam started to spread, including in Spain. And actually the Renaissance in Europe started from Spain, and all the scientists, all the intellectuals were living in Andalusia, and from Andalusia the knowledge spread all over Europe, which ultimately helped Europe to get out of darkness, to become civilized, you know. And it's something that should be taught in every school in Europe and around the world. Islam, there's a book called The 1001 Discoveries in Islam, and I mean, Muslim created almost everything, if you think about it. Libraries, universities, pharmacies, vaccination. The first vaccine was from a Muslim, the good one. And, you know, there are a lot of discoveries, such as photography. And, you know, if you go deep in history, you will find out by yourself. And I really invite you to do so. Because, you know, one of the things that Islam asks us to do, and this is the first word that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, received from God through the angel Gabriel, is Iqra, which means read. So Islam is not a religion for ignorance, you know. It's a religion that actually liberates you by telling you the truth and by telling you to study. To study first about God, and then every sciences are welcome in Islam. You know, there's not a contradiction between science and Islam, because God knows everything. Everything that is being discovered by men are actually because of the will of God. You know, and scientists tend to forget about this. And there are many verses in the Quran that was revealed to the Prophet, peace be upon him, in the 7th century, that could have not been known by a man in the 7th century if not by Allah, who told him everything that happens, for example, in the womb of a pregnant woman. It has been discovered a few decades ago through the scientists, you know. And actually a lot of scientists, atheists, are becoming Muslim. Those who are sincere realize that this book cannot come from a man in the 7th century in the desert. It can only come from God. And that's why Islam is spreading so fast, and even billions of dollars are invested every year to lie about Islam. It cannot be stopped. And this is a bad news for the people who are working on that, because you should change your work, because this is useless to do it, because you cannot stop the truth, because this is the will of God. And it's amazing to see that with all this propaganda against Islam through the Western media, people like me from France and all over the world are embracing Islam every day, by hundreds, if not thousands. God knows the exact number. So this is just for some people who are working on that, to just do something else. It will be more profitable. You can go surfing. That's what I used to do back in the days. So this is better for you than to try to fight Islam, because you cannot win that. It's impossible. Because Islam is the peace. Islam is the truth for mankind. Okay? So this is a very important point. And another word that we keep on hearing in the media is the Sharia. The Sharia is the system of God. So if you don't want this, fine. You will have to take the system of man, which is causing you to be enslaved, you know. Why the Western media is always criticizing the Sharia? Because they are controlling people. And they don't want the people to free themselves and finally become people who worship God the right way, you know, and follow the command of God. So you have two choices. Or you follow God, or you follow another man who will tell you what to do for his own interest. This is, life is very simple, my brothers and sisters. I made that choice 5 years ago, that I'd only want to follow what God tells me to do. Enough, because other men don't know what is good for me. Why? Because they didn't create me. They can be wise people, they can be very experienced, They will never know what is good. That's why you see laws keep on changing, you know, and laws keep on contradicting themselves, you know. But the laws of God is still valid. You know, the for example, divorce is in the Quran. You know, still in Philippines, for example, in the 21st century, Christian women cannot divorce. You know, they have a very hard time to divorce. It's very taboo. You know, Islam liberating women 14 centuries ago, and the Western media is lying about Muslim women being oppressed, which is the contrary. You know, Muslim women have more rights than any woman in the world. You know, and you have to study for, and why, how do you expect that hundreds, if not thousands, of Western women from UK, from France, from USA, from Australia, are becoming Muslim every year without marrying to a Muslim husband? How do you explain that? If it was a religion of oppression, how do you explain that so many women from the Western world are becoming Muslim? What do they find in that religion? Because they finally realize they got tricked and they got used. You know, the body is exposed and all these things. They realize they are tired of this system of men. So that's why 70% of the converts are women. And this cannot be stopped as well. I'm sorry for the ones who are trying. I'm very sorry to inform you that this is going to keep on going, and because you cannot stop the truth.